Just then, Christy came in with the medkit, but Dean stayed in the doorway, a grin in each hand.
What was it, stickies?
Using a knife, Christy cut open Jack's shirt and exposed the shoulder. It was a flesh wound, not very deep, just wide and blistered.
That's laser damage.
Ryan recognized the blister pattern.
Sectroids.
Taking a long pull on the canteen, Mildred nodded weakly.
In the armory. Soon as we picked up some ammo boxes, they came charging out of the shadows, firing everywhere. Idiot machines destroyed more than we could ever have taken.
Lucky you weren't chilled. Those things are hard to stop.
Christy washed Jack's wound and tied on a clean bandage. Ryan merely grunted, remembering when he had been chased across Deathlands by one of the pre-dark mechanical hunters. It was the closest he had ever come to catching the long sleep. Jack gestured at the Matrans chamber.
Stopped him. Used thermite grenades on fuel stalls. No redoubt left.
Thermite?
Eagerly, JB walked over and lifted the lumpy canvas bags to look inside.
Good haul. Additional MRE packs, some med supplies, half a dozen thermite grenades, and a few AP grenades, box of 12-gauge shotgun shells, 2 claymores, a bottle of whiskey, 2 flares, full box of 9mm APC rounds.
Ryan caught the box of ammo JB tossed at him as he went into the control room. Taking his S&W shotgun from the corner, the armorer shoved a 12-gauge shell into the bottom slot and worked the pump to feed in the cartridge. He did this 3 more times, then filled the empty loops along the shoulder strap. When he was done, JB distributed the remaining shells in several pockets. Ryan was already at the main console, thumbing rounds into the empty clips for the Sig Sauer. As he filled each, he tucked them into the pouch on his belt, then slapped the last clip into the butt of the hand cannon and jacked the slide.
Better.
Any blasters?
Mildred scowled.
We never got close. Tried to lure the droids away and then double back, but time was too short.
Studying his friends, Ryan made a command decision.
We're calling it a day. Let's get some food and sleep. We can start hunting for weapons again in a few hours.
Mildred glanced at her wrist chron.
Dawn soon. Sleep sounds good.
Christy started for the control room. Doc was still sprawled asleep in the chair, snoring softly. She brushed some hair out of his tired face.
Thank Gaia we aren't in a rush. If Sheffield and his sec men left this valley, we'd lose our back door.
Be shit out of luck if that happens. Come on, let's go eat.
Searchlights cut through the Tennessee darkness, the bright rods of light sweeping over the Shilohville to brightly illuminate each area in an orderly pattern. Walking patrol along the wide top of the stone block wall, a blue shirt studied the weird landscape surrounding the ville. Not a blade of grass was in sight, nor a tree or even a bush. Just the oddly flowing bed of gray rock. The ground rose and fell in endless irregularities, the acid rain having solidified wind-blown piles of ash into foamy rock harder than limestone. It was as if a gray winter sea had been instantly frozen, catching the waves before they broke upon the shore. He knew it made farming here impossible, and the Sekmen would have to move to another location, but the thought neither pleased nor annoyed him. It was just another chore to do for Sheffield, easier than some, harder than most. Nothing special. The guard muttered and lit a cig off a wooden match.
Farmers.
Why would anybody bust his ass to plow dirt when a smart man got anything he wanted by working for a baron? Being a sec man meant all the food he could eat, a soft bed, clean clothes, women for sex whenever he wanted. And with these Aki 47s, the Blues could chill any invader. Personally, he didn't understand what Sheffield and Colette needed with Edition Kite. A blaster in the hand was worth more than any pre-dark sat. Releasing a stream of white smoke, the sec man continued his patrol along the top of the thick wall. He remembered starting life as a farmer until raiders hit his town. In the midst of the fight, he saw the locals were losing and shifted sides to stay alive. He opened the ville gates and helped hang his own family. It didn't bother him. Civilians, what the hell good were they? All the tasty food came from a can or an envelope. Raw stuff was crunchy and dirty. None of that shit for him. A movement amid the stony dunes caught the man's attention, and the guard slid the blaster off his shoulder. His thumb slid along the side, making sure the selector was set for full auto. He whistled softly, and another soldier stuck out his head from the kiosk at the front gate. The wall guard jerked a thumb toward the outside, then across his throat. Nodding, the private grabbed his blaster off a peg on the wall and advanced carefully to the gate. The steel bars were less than 6 inches apart and thicker than a soup can. Not even one of the APC wags could ram through the barrier. Damn thing had taken 60 slaves to move into positions, and 4 died hanging it on the massive hinges. Nobody could attack the ville from that direction. Muties, however, would and could attack from anywhere, usually when you least expected them. Suddenly, there was a flurry of motion, and the blue shirt fired from the hip, the bullets hitting a scream wing that was gliding straight for the gate. The riddled corpse hit the bars and wiggled through before the blue could track his weapon on the animal again. This time, the stream of rounds tore it apart, and the scream wing flopped on the green grass inside the bill, keening in pain, its leathery wings beating feebly as its thin lifeblood flowed from the riddled body. When the thing finally went still, the sec man walked closer and shot it again in the head, then stomped the scream wing under his boot until its body was only a pulpy mass. Little fuckers were hard to chill and often came back to bite your ass when you were positive they had taken the last train west. Kicking the dead mutie behind the wall, he jabbed it with a sharp stick and tossed its form into an empty 55-gallon oil drum half full of similar corpses.
Welcome to Shallow.
He snorted in wry amusement, then spun with a curse as a loud explosion ripped apart the night. A fireball was rising skyward by the gap in the wall, the searchlights moving back and forth to focus on the chink in their perimeter. Sirens began to howl as squads of Sekmen rushed to the area. As they neared, the Blues could see that the blast had cleared the hole of barbed wire for yards. The punji sticks sheared off at ground level.
Nobody move! Wait for them!
The men assumed a firing line just as a dozen humanoid muties shambled through the smoky darkness, the things dripping drool down curved tusks in their eagerness to reach the norms.
Fire!
The sergeant cut loose with a Kalashnikov at the grouped creatures. The first staggered and tried to dodge behind the pre-dark army tank that filled the rest of the hole. Then the ground under its claws blossomed into fire as another claymore detonated, the explosion hurling the limp corpse skyward in many grisly pieces. The concussion slapped the Sekmen like an invisible fist, the shotgun rounds peppering the tank and stonework. Hoots of agony could be heard in the billowing smoke, and the Sekmen fired short volleys, seeking live targets. More cries of pain announced success. Then there was a sudden silence.
Still think you're trying the same trick as the last bunch? You, and you, former X Squad, shoot anything that moves!
Grim-faced, the blue shirts checked their blasters and walked directly into the smoky, bloody chaos of the gap, the searchlights casting long shadows before them. Soon there came the chatter of blaster fire, but the anguished screams that followed were from Norm throats, not the fanged muties. Then dozens of dark shapes appeared from within the gloom and rushed for the astonished blues.
Breakthrough!
He hosed the Kalashnikov wildly as the horde of muties swarmed inside Shiloh Hill.
Just had to get the stinking slime off me.
Wrapped in a towel, the beautiful redhead walked across the officers' quarters to the pile of her freshly laundered clothing on a desk. There was no reply, only a soft snore from Ryan, who was sprawled on the bed. A chair had been pulled beside the man, and a cocked blaster rested within easy reach of his outstretched hand. Patting herself dry, Christy gazed at Ryan and smiled. He was the only real man she had ever known, and she couldn't imagine life without him. They were more than merely lovers. They were soulmates, two halves forming a greater whole. Ryan had taken the opportunity to wash his own clothing along with hers, and was stretched naked on the bed, his muscular body covered to the waist by the thin blankets. Scars of a dozen types marred his powerful body, the puckered iris of a bullet hole, the zigzag of an arrowhead yanked loose, the smooth slash of a knife blade, and irregular flat areas of white skin, the remnants of fire damage and electrical shock. Souvenirs from torture by Sekmen and Barons he later aced. Although strikingly attractive, Ryan wasn't handsome. But Christie had seen handsome before, and it usually masked evil underneath the smooth, easy smile. Ryan was a warrior